Live from Crestview Studios, Florida, it's the Dave and Duke Call-In Show. And now here's your co-host, Speak Free Radio owner David Gahari and the incomparable Dr. David Duke. Limber up your dialing fingers.
Hey, hello folks. This is Dave Gahari on the Dave and Duke Call-In Show on speakfreeradio.com. I hope I'm coming through loud and clear. It looks like I am. Thank you, Liz. It is Easter Sunday. It's 6:02 p.m. Central Time, March 31. So the last day of March, the last day of the quarter, and we're moving into April tomorrow, April Fool's Day, which is the beginning of the third year of Speak Free Radio. We did two full years of Speak Free Radio, and we're going to have a special show tomorrow on G-Man Show at, let's see, that's 12 to 2 Central Time. And so I'm saying Central because I'm in the Central Time Zone. So I guess it might make sense for all the hosts to talk about the time zone that they're in. So when the listeners hear that, they'll know, you know, well, they'll have like a relative, you know, position of whatever the host is saying. So that's 12 to 2 tomorrow, Central Time on speakfreeradio.com. And you can get to that show. If you go to speakfreeradio.com, you'll see it up there on the schedule, the Sane Asylum. And, of course, it says 1 to 3 p.m. That's Eastern because Speak Free is all Eastern time. And so that's going to be a special broadcast about the past 2 years on Speak Free with none other than Giuseppe Vaffanculo. I hope I said that right. Otherwise known as the G-Man. So it should be good. And let's get through with the particulars here of the show before we get into our Easter broadcast. And as I said, we're on speakfreeradio.com. And, of course, there's a lot of great shows, a lot of great hosts on Speak Free Radio. Just check it out. It's 24/7. And we're always adding new hosts, and that actually is going to happen coming up in the next couple of weeks. There's going to be a bunch of new shows, a bunch of new hosts, a bunch of hard-hitting shows, which is obviously what we need. And if you go to speakfreeradio.com, you'll see it. It's defaulted to the schedule, so you can see everything. Right now, Sunday, March 31, you don't see anything beyond that yet because the time hasn't ticked over yet to the next day on the Eastern. There's a clock right there that's very accurate, and it's ticking away with New York time or New York time, whatever you want to call it. If you go to the call-in chat tab below schedule, that's how you come into any of the shows on Speak Free. And if you click on that, in this case, you see the Dave and Duke call-in show icon, and you would click on that, and that would bring you into the studio in the waiting room. So you would only do that if you have a question or comment. If you don't have a question or comment, then just listen to the show on Speak Free Radio. The reason for that is if you come into the waiting room, we only have a limited number of seats. And so you might be taking a seat from someone who actually wants to ask Dr. David Duke a question or make a comment. So please just listen to it on the website, and only if you have a question, you know, or a comment, then come into the studio. I mean, if there was unlimited seating, then no problem. And maybe one day there will be, but right now there isn't. So also, if you want to come in and, like, put your question in the chat box, you can do that too, but just make sure you exit out because you're not gaining any advantage by coming in that way. The next button is podcasts, and those are all the old shows. Old meaning the ones that have just passed by. So, for example, you see Freedom Enough, Hoax Busters, Dave and Duke, Sane Asylum, Perfect Triangle, Inside the Eye, Live, Kernot Connection, Shelly Tasker, Bloodlines, Paul English Live, Radio Ranch, and Logos Revealed. And he's our newest host, our newest show. So you can listen to all the old shows from right there. Okay? So that's how that's done. And let's get into the show as far as how this show functions for those new listeners. Okay, so this is a call-in show, which means that the direction of the show is dictated by the caller. So the callers go to Dave. Sometimes people might ask me a question, but really it's not for me to answer any questions. Sometimes I will if Dave says, you know, what do you think, or if I'm in a certain mood. But for the most part, this is, you know, to ask him the questions, and they should be directed to him and or the comments. So the way it works is you've got, or he's got, 2 minutes to answer that question, and then you'll hear this sound a little bit before the 2 minutes is up, and then on the 2 minutes you'll hear it again. You might hear it again and again and again. It depends. but, of course, that's all dependent upon how many people are waiting to get in. So if there's a bunch of people in there, you might hear the urgency in my voice, and I'll tell Dave, let's go. We got to get to the next caller. If there's not, then, of course, I won't say that. But that's the way it works, and it's a two-hour show, and we've been doing this for almost a year and a half, or perhaps it has been a long time. And the ongoing challenge is that if anyone around the world, anywhere, because we have listeners from around the world, can let us know of a more significant existential threat to humanity and free speech other than organized international Jewry, let us know and we'll quit. And alongside that, if anyone can let us know of a more effective deliverer of that message other than Dr. David Duke, you let us know and we'll quit. And that is the truth, and we will. Or as Dave said, I think last week, you know, he'd be more than happy to step aside and let somebody who knows more than him talk about it, but I haven't met them. I just don't think it's... I think we're going to be doing this show for the rest of our lives, however long that may be. So it is Easter, and it's kind of quiet today. Here in the Panhandle, it hit about 80 degrees, which was very nice. Last Easter, it was freezing. So the kids had some fun, I guess, this Easter. They weren't freezing their bottoms off looking for those eggs. And today was very warm. And what we're going to do, we're going to diverge a little bit because it is Easter and it's a very special day. I know growing up, Easter was only second to Christmas in its importance. And, of course, now, if you go to Joogle, you know, do it. Go right now. Go to the Joogle website, and you'll see that there is, you know, a little egg, right? A little tiny egg underneath the Joogle search bar. And if you click on that little tiny egg, you know, there's nothing about, you know, Jesus or Christianity. There's no churches or anything. But if you click on that little that little egg, you know, and I guess Joogle has these things that they do. So it says Happy Easter ! With a little egg. If you click on Happy Easter, it opens up a page that says Google Arts and Culture. And it's not very long, but I mean, it's a bunch of like animated games and stuff. And There's nothing about Jesus. There's nothing about churches. There's nothing. It's just like eggs and bunnies. And of course, it's got the obligatory, black people. It's like you're in Africa. I mean, look, nothing against blacks, but I mean, people must be really tired of this stuff. I mean, look, these black kids are cute on this picture, but I mean, enough is enough, for God's sakes. I mean, they're like, what, 12% of the population? And we got to see them every day because the Jews decide that we need to see them every day. So it's a shame what's happened to this country. And I hope that Dave is up to perhaps spending some time talking about, Easter and how it has changed over the short time that we've been around. Because like I said, it was very, very significant. And now it's not. Dave, happy Easter, my friend. Are you up to speaking a little bit about Easter?
Yes. We've already done a quarter of the show. I wish we had got finished earlier. But
quarter of the show? Wait a second. It's 6:13.
Okay. Two more minutes.
That's 11 minutes. No, it's not. This is a two-hour show.
6:13 right now. I'm talking.
It's a two-hour show.
No, I'm at the quarter of the first hour.
It was 11 minutes. It starts at 2 after.
The first hour of the show. It's now 6:13. Okay, whatever.
Right. Yeah, okay? 11 minutes.
Why are we quibbling over something so little?
Because it's Easter.
We need to do that. Sure. No, we don't need to do that.
And we're like a family. Families quibble.
Make sure that you make me sure I'm not going to go into the next hour, but I'll probably finish up to this hour because I have a special message today on Easter. And I'm going to draw together the situation with Western civilization. The fact that Western civilization is today, actually, Western Christian civilization. And Jews have overthrown that. And Jews have been the enemy of Christ and the enemy of Christians since the very beginning of the message of Christ. And I want to talk about some of those issues. Now, this is going to be primarily for our Christian listeners, but I'd like, whether you're Christian or not, or whether you're simply sympathetic to Christianity or you're sympathetic to the culture of our heritage, our values. I know a lot of people who aren't even Christians, but they are moved by the kind of message that's in Christmas carols and so much of the message of Jesus Christ, and which was a message of love, kindness, truly justice, and even truth. I've quoted a lot from John 8 recently, where he talks about ye shall know the truth and the truth will set you free, and how he really had a ministry, had a message to the world from God, his Father, that taught a different concept. And it really clarified the words of God, because people often talk about the relationship between God and Jews. And people have a lot of misconceptions about that, because the so-called covenant that God made with Jews, according to the Old Testament, was always a conditional covenant. And Christ came, I believe, to the world, and it's pretty clear by his ministry, it's pretty clear by the life he led and the things he said, that he was here to bring a new covenant. And this covenant was 180 degrees different than the covenant the Jews had manipulated and mutated it into with what became Judaism. And what became the oral tradition of Judaism and what is called the Talmud and the so-called Halakha. And the Halakha is the Jewish law, and Jewish universities all over the world, Jewish religious universities, not even secular universities, they literally study the Talmud 24 hours a day. There's a big problem right now in Israel because some of the secular Jews want to make the Haredi Jews, who are the more, very devout religious Jews, serve in the military. And the people who are not devout radical Jews, they don't particularly like the fact that the Haredi don't serve. But they serve. But the things that they teach in the so-called yeshivas, these Jewish schools, is an absolute Jewish racial supremacy over all the other people of the world. And it's not only is it a supremacy, it is truly something that the Jewish media, if it was honest, would call hate speech. Because a great deal of Judaism, in fact, I would say an incredible percentage of Judaism, is about hating every other people and saying that every other people on earth are evil and inferior, and that they must be controlled by Jews, that Jews must rule over them. And in fact, there is an incredible amount in the Talmud of saying how Gentiles should be cheated, they should be exploited, they should be wrapped up in loan sharking and become, you know, absolutely, it's almost, loan sharking is like an addiction. The way Maimonides explained it was it's nezik, it's biting. And Jews are not allowed to loan at usury at high interest rates to fellow Jews, but they're able to do that with Gentiles. He also said that a Jew shouldn't save the life of a Christian unless the Christians would notice that he specifically didn't save the life of a Christian, and then that would cause harm to Jews. But if he could get away with it, he shouldn't ever save the life of a Christian. So I want to talk today about the real meaning of Easter. And Easter is it's one of the most positive holidays and stories in the history of humanity. And it's an incredible story of the courage and the teachings and the values of Jesus Christ, and how he presented to us how he and his God in heaven, his Father in heaven, wanted us to behave as human beings toward each other. And I'm going to try to explain why the current conception of Christianity and Jesus Christ and even his teachings is something that's more narrated by the Jews who control the movies and the media and academia. And of course, they have thousands of books attacking Jesus Christ, claiming, you know, his resurrection was a drug-induced stupor or something like that. The Talmud itself, the Jewish Talmud, says that Jewish magicians has raised Christ from the dead. They brought him back to life. He didn't bring himself back to life with God. God didn't take him into heaven. No, he was resurrected by Jews so they could torture him for eternity. So we're going to talk today about why the Jewish religion, what became Judaism. And if you really look at Jesus's life, it was really about how he objected to what Judaism had become from maybe its earlier days in the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, how the oral tradition had replaced the written tradition. And the oral tradition, which is called the Talmud, was run by these Pharisees who Jesus Christ used the most pejorative, most, you know, angry language at. And I'm going to explain to people with some scriptures so they can understand why and exactly what I'm saying here. I'm going to back up my points with stuff right out of the Bible. You know, from the earliest times I can remember, I've been a believing Christian. My father was a devout Christian who taught me that the salvation that Jesus Christ offers, and he taught me about his lessons for living. And he was never dogmatic in his faith. He was actually a scientist in many ways, a geologist. He believed in things like evolution, but at the same time, he believed devoutly in God and Christ and the message of Christ to our people and to the world. And he always led my family very open-mindedly to many churches and different church. I at times there are members of the Presbyterian Church, Methodist Church, Church of Christ congregations, and others. The important consideration for my father was the quality of the minister and the quality of his understanding of the New Testament and Jesus' message and the quality of the congregation. When I was in grade school, my family joined the Legion Fields Methodist Church, and where my father taught Sunday school. And when we traveled, we'd always try to attend Sunday school and church in whatever city we happened to be in. We actually attended a Catholic church for a while, which was named after one of my ancestors. I didn't even know it then, but it was Mary Margaret of Scotland. And they have a church in her name, by the way, in Hammond, Louisiana. And we have some, we've got a lot of European ancestry. And some of our ancestors were, in fact, Hungarian, way, way back. In fact, one of the first saints in the Christian church were in the Armenian church in the Middle East, in Armenia. And so I have roots with both the Russian Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church. But also, again, I was a Protestant church Christian. I attended Clifton Gaines. And my experience at the church, in fact, even though I was baptized with a little sprinkling in the Presbyterian church, I was baptized again with being immersed, obviously. And that was a great renewal for me. And I knew that the New Testament offered a new covenant that was a huge departure of anything before. This was Jesus Christ saying that he is going to sacrifice his life in a courageous act, an act where he's willing to suffer for our sins and our failings to clear the slate for every person, no matter what they've done wrong or that they've done in their life that they regret, because most people have regrets, that we all have a chance to start anew in Jesus Christ. And even in those days, the church that I went to, Church of Christ, it understood that, that the New Testament preached a new message. And that message was very clear. And those chosen people were the people that Christ came to save, which was all mankind, and which included Jews, but there was no more speciality. There was no more chosen people of Jews. In fact, they changed the covenant of God to a new covenant, and that covenant was with all humanity. And the covenant that was with Jews was changed to those who accepted Jesus Christ. It says it so clearly in the New Testament. All you got to do is read it, folks. Just open your eyes and read it. And it says that the children of the promise will become the true people of God, the children of God, the descendants of God, the people of the promise, not the people of the blood of what they called the Israelites. The Old Testament describes history as one of one nationality, one people, the Israelites, who were designated a special people, a chosen people. And the life and death struggles between Israelites and the Canaanites, the Philistines, the Amalekites, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, and dozens of other people who are recorded exhaustively. And in my book, I mentioned then that I was surprised and dismayed in some ways by the genocide that I continued to find in many more verses of the Bible, such as in Joshua 6:21 and in 10:28, detailing the slaughter of entire peoples. the Jewish forces committed their genocide under the strict guidelines established by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 20. He told them that in the land set aside to become Israel, Jews should exterminate every inhabitant, while people in surrounding nations had to die unless they submitted themselves to be slaves to the Jews, to Israel. And this is a quote directly out of the Bible, in case anybody thinks I'm doubting this. And by the way, I'm not condemning any of this, and I'm not condemning the Old Testament. I can't give you the reasons why God would permit this, and I can't tell you about whether I think these verses should be in there or not. I can't even offer, you know, proof. I can offer ideas that over thousands of years that a lot of these things that are in the Bible, it's hard to say that every line is a line just struck in stone by God. I don't really believe that. I believe that over time and translations where people hand copied every verse, true in the New Testament as well to a degree. But when you look at that, I can't give you the explanation of whether that verse should even be there, but let me quote this verse and understand and give you an understanding which you can use your own mind for, to look at the teachings of Christ and see and realize that the clarity that Jesus Christ brings to the world, that we celebrate, by the way, between God and man, completely changed with the coming and the teachings of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. This is what it says in Deuteronomy. When you draw near a city to fight against it, it offers then all the people who were found in it shall be forced to be slaves to you and serve you. But if it makes no peace with you, you shall put all males to the sword. But the women and the little ones, the children, the cattle, and everything else in the city, all its spoil, you shall take as booty for yourselves, and you shall enjoy the spoil of your enemies. Thus y'all shall do in all their cities, which are very far from you, which are not cities of the nations here, but in the cities of these people that the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance, you shall save nothing that breathes, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. That's from Deuteronomy 20:10-18. If you don't believe me, read it. Now, I'm not saying this in any way condemn the Old Testament. I'm not saying to you that there's not great things in the Old Testament. There are some great things in the Old Testament. What I'm saying to you folks is I want you to contrast these words with the constant teachings of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And I'm not telling you that Jesus Christ, you know, I believe Jesus Christ taught love. That was his major message, to teach love. But when Jesus Christ taught love, it was love thy neighbor. And what Jesus Christ meant when do unto others as you do unto yourself, what he meant by that was that all people should be treated fairly and decently and kindly, not murdered, you know, not exploited, not harmed, not corrupted, not raped or murdered or enslaved. No. I think Jesus, the message of Jesus Christ is so clear in the New Testament. And that's why the Jews who had become changed, that's why they rejected Jesus Christ, because they didn't want a Jesus Christ that accepted other people. I'll give you one example of that. All right, in the Halakha, in the law, in the Talmud, and the same, there's a lot of these same laws are very similar in the Torah, but it's really radical in the other, right? In the Talmud, it says that a Jew cannot even drink from the same wine bottle. I don't mean from the same you know, bottle itself with your lips on it are the same glass. They can't even drink from the same wine bottle. That Jews literally can't break bread with non-Jews. That they, you know, they can't marry them. They can't, you know, convert with them. They can't have relations with them. At least that's what it says in the Talmud. It makes it really clear. And in fact, they can't even drink from the same wells in some cases, and certainly not be drank from the same cup. And one example of where Jesus went directly against these very critical laws, like also Jesus went against the laws of the Sabbath, which are some of the most rigorous of the most hard laws of the Talmud. Jesus Christ ran into a person that was working on his house. He was doing labor on the Sabbath. And Jesus Christ comes to the man and he says, "Sir, you realize this is the Sabbath. This is our sacred day. You realize one of our chief commandments is not to work on the Sabbath, to not to do any labor on the Sabbath. You know, this is a critical law, you know? So why are you doing this? Do you realize you're breaking the law?" And the man says, "Yes, master. I realize I am. But I live in a house. My family lives in this house. And they need this shelter over their head. And I believe that I should work to provide for my family. Because isn't that what God does? Doesn't God provide for us and our family? Am I not supposed to work for my children and myself? And I'm sorry that I broke the law. But master, I hope you forgive me, and I hope you see that I don't think I was doing something ungodly, even though I disagree in this occasion with the law." And Jesus Christ answered him. He said, "You are a godly man. And you have really done what God would want you to do. Because you have done right and something that's just and something good. And if only all of our people would have the faith that you have and would have the understanding of what's right and wrong." So Jesus did not condemn him. Another case is a very famous case with, of course, there were many different tribes throughout the Middle East. And by the way, these weren't white or black people. There were some maybe Ethiopians that were black. Some of them, some of the Ethiopians were white, but there were just basically different, what's the word for tribes of different European groups, whether they were Semites or whether they were Persians or whether they were Greeks or whether they were Romans or whether they were whomever they were, of all these different tribes. And the Jewish law was that, again, you can't convert with these people. You can't even deal with these people, especially the Samaritans. They really hated the Samaritans. In fact, they'd always accuse Christ of being a Samaritan, an evil Samaritan. And so you're not supposed to drink after a Samaritan. You're not to have any sort of commerce with them. You certainly can't marry them. It's very clear in the Old Testament, that you can't do these things. And, so Christ has a long interlude with a Samaritan woman at a well, with a Samaritan well. And Christ was thirsty. And there was a Samaritan woman at the well, bringing up the water. And Christ said to her, she said, "Oh, I am so thirsty. They're totally against Jewish law. Of course I would. And you come to share with you the water, the nourishment, and the teachings of God. And all of this is wrong because, you see, the Hebrews didn't really believe that. They really didn't go along with that kind of an idea. Their Judaism was for the Jews, the chosen people, which everybody else was a second-class citizen. And they were promised, or at least they thought they were promised. I mean, they were certain, God said he'd keep the covenant to them to the thousandth generation. But what it says in Deuteronomy after that was very clearly, it says, but if you disobey the laws of God, if you disobey my laws and reject my laws and my word, I will requite you instantly. I will abandon you. I will divorce you. I will destroy you, actually, is what is said there. And that's pretty interesting to think about. I mean, so the covenant was never an unconditional covenant anyway, because you'll still hear preachers today that will say, well, this, the covenant of God still has a covenant with the Jews. And that's because they have no idea. They don't even read the New Testament. You know, the Old Testament's pretty long, but the New Testament's pretty short. You can literally read the New Testament in 3 or 4 weeks easily if you concentrate on it. And you can read it. And you can actually read with your own eyes and your own mind and your own heart what it says in it, right? Now, what it says is so different than the ethnic supremacists in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it says that specifically that the chosen people of God, it says it very clearly in Acts, it says it very clearly in Thessalonians, it talks about how the Jews killed the prophets and crucified Jesus Christ. That's what it says in Thessalonians, by the way. And it says very, very clearly that Jesus is quoted in the New Testament, in our New Testament scripture, Jesus is quoted as saying, just as I led them by the hand out of the land of Egypt, they continued not in my covenant. And I considered them not, saith the Lord. It goes way beyond that. Now, there's nothing in the New Testament that says that non-Jews can be saved, that non-Jews can be part of the kingdom of God, that non-Jews can't be treated fairly and decently and kindly and have the salvation that Christ wrought. But the ethnic supremacism in the Old Testament is very different than that. And I can tell you, whatever you think about that, Judaism continued on in this vein, but became even more extreme with the Talmud, which says things like the best of Gentiles must be murdered. And it talks about Christ being boiled in human excrement for eternity. The kind teacher that Jesus, it's very clear that Judaism is anti-Christ. It's not a Judeo-Christian religion. It's almost like saying that's a Satanist Christian religion. Christianity has nothing to do with what Judaism has become in this world. Judaism has become an anti-Christian phenomenon. And it's real clear for anyone who studies Judaism, anyone who studies the Talmud, anyone who studies the reality of the world, anybody who looks who runs Hollywood, anybody who looks who has created this immorality in this modern world, who's created these massive wars. Jesus Christ said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blinken is not a peacemaker. Victoria Nuland wasn't a peacemaker. Right? The same Jews that gave the Iraq war are not peacemakers. The ones who are massacring tens of thousands of Palestinian children, women and children, are not peacemakers. There's no mass murders in the New Testament. Come on, folks. And the reason they got mad at Jesus Christ was because the Messiah they wanted was a Messiah to conquer, was a Messiah to kill, the Messiah just to suppress. The New Testament, by the way, outlines that or lays that out clearly in Revelation, where it says the Antichrist will come from the rebuilt temple. And by the way, Jesus Christ rejects the temple. And right now they're trying to rebuild the temple. And they've got the sacred heifer or something. And they got stupid Christians supporting the temple. So the Antichrist can come to this temple and then kill billions of people, rape millions, billions of little boys and little girls, Christians and Muslims and every other people. And I don't see anywhere in Christianity that it says to kill non-Christians or anyone, especially not children. There's no support for genocide. There's even a difference between, and let me tell you something, I believe in the love of Jesus Christ, and I think what Jesus Christ was promoting the most, I don't think Jesus Christ had any problem at all against opposing wrongdoing. I think Christ believed in forgiveness, but at the same time, he definitely was opposed to sinful activity, and he physically got violent at times. And he might have supported things which all the anti-gun people would oppose today. Because back then, in the time of Jesus Christ, the weapon of choice was the sword. And Christ one time said, if you don't have a sword, if you must do it, if you must sell your coat, which is kind of important in the wintertime, even in the Middle East, if you don't have a sword, if you have to sell your coat, your cloak, to buy one, you need to buy one. Let's talk about the Passion. Let's talk about the time before the direct crucifixion of Jesus Christ, why Jews hated him. Because he preached a universal message. Because he preached a message of forgiveness. He preached a message of blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who love. He didn't advocate any sort of ethnic supremacism. And neither did the apostles who heard his message and witnessed his message. None of the followers of Jesus Christ promoted any genocides. None. That's a fact. Now, class that with Jewish scriptures, right? Quote, as for your male and female slaves who you may have, you may buy male and female slaves from among the nations that are round about you. You also may buy among the strangers who sojourn with you and their families that are with you, who have been born in your land, and they may be your property. You may, you may bequeath these slaves.
Dave, 15 minutes till the top of the hour.
Good. Thank you for the time. For your sons after you to inherit as a possession forever. You may make slaves of them. But over your own brethren, the people of Israel, you shall not rule with such harshness. That's from Leviticus. Right? And when the Lord God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, and show mercy unto them. Jesus Christ was all about mercy. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son or his daughter to thy son. Deuteronomy, I'm the Lord your God, separated you from other people. So I mean, this is the thing, and this is what people have to understand. It's not that Christ said there people couldn't want to present. He didn't say that there shouldn't be Greeks or Jews are Romans. There shouldn't be men and women. He recognized, in fact, the New Testament, to the plight and to the sadness of the LGBT community. And by the way, Christians and the Bible also recognizes the fact that homosexuality is very sinful and very destructive and damaging. And I don't think anything that Christ would oppose anything more than the rape and the molestation and the harming of children. But at the same time, Christ brought a new message, right? See, when I started looking into the historical attitude of the Christian church toward Judaism, I found that it had been changed remarkably in the 20th century, just this century. This was a period that also marked the rise of Jewish economic, political, and media power, which influenced governments and media and academia and even infiltrated the Christian church. The Christian church had a long record of fundamental conflict with the Jews. It's a record of which Jewish writers frequently complain. In the fledgling days of Jewish writers, the Jewish persecution of Christians is depicted by Jewish leaders as great things and things worthy of the Jews. We should kill them. We should murder them. Christians should be killed if they even dare, if they even simply dare to read the Talmud, because if they read the Talmud and their hatred that Jews have for the whole rest of humanity, they would kill us. A former Pharisee, Paul, was one of those cruel members of organized Jewry that later had this road to Damascus incident when he realized it was wrong, this Jewish hatred. And he wrote about it. And he talked about it. And his words, he's the guy that propelled Christianity. And what did he say about Christianity? Well, by the way, let me quote a little bit from Ishul Shahak. He was the famous Jewish academic I quoted from. Judaism is imbued with a very deep hatred toward Christianity combined with ignorance about it. This attitude was widely aggravated by the Christian persecution of Jews, but it's largely independent of those actions. In fact, it dates from the time when Christianity was still weak and persecuted, not least by Jews. And it was shared by Jews who had never been persecuted by Christians and who were even helped by them. According to the Talmud, Jesus was executed by a proper rabbinical court for idolatry, inciting other Jews to idolatry and contempt of rabbinical authority. Quite happy to take responsibility for it. In the Talmudic account, the Romans aren't even mentioned. How about that? In fact, in the Talmud, they give Jesus Christ four deaths, right? Pious Jews object to the international plus sign because it's like a cross. And it may be, in their opinion, influence little children to convert to Christianity. Isn't that weird? That's what goes on in Israel. These are realities, but people don't know this because Jews who control the media, right, doesn't know it. Like other quotes in the Talmud, which is so shocking. Quote, this is from Talmudic Encyclopedia. Oh, you can also find it in many other areas. If a Jew has coitus, sexual intercourse with a Gentile woman, whether she be a child of three or an adult, my God, do they have to mention that? Whether married or unmarried, and even if it's a minor age, only 9 years and a day, because he willed willful coitus with her, listen to this, not the Jew, but it's she that must be killed. And as is the case with a beast, because through her, a Jew got in trouble. Wow. Okay, so let's read some of the New Testament. All right. This is St. Paul. For I wish I could myself be accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen by race. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For those who might be descended from what's called Israel don't necessarily belong to Israel. This means that it's not the children of the flesh or the children of God. This is with the coming of Christ, of course, but the children of the promise of Jesus Christ, the promises Jesus made us, they're reckoned as the descendants today. He goes on to say this in clear words. Those who were not my people, indeed, as it says in Hosea, those who are not my people, I will call my people. And in the very place where it said to them, you are not my people, like the Romans and the Greeks, you will be called sons of the living God. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it sought. Then he goes on, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come that I'll make a new covenant, not according to the covenant I made with Jewish fathers in the day when I took them by the hand out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. So any preacher that says God has a special covenant with the Jews is telling a lie. That's not what the New Testament says. That's not at all what the New Testament says. It says exactly the opposite of that. It says the Jews did not continue in my covenant. He said, therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing the fruits of it. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard the parables, they perceived that he spoke of them. And of course, the most famous one, we got a few more minutes to talk here, but Jesus said unto them, and this is where he's talking in John 8, and this is amazing. He says, if God were your father, and by the way, these were the Pharisees, and by the way, at the end of this, the Pharisees say, and the Jews, it says in the Bible, the Jews said, you know, and the Jews answered him. He said, if God, I've got a chicken outside making noise, believe it or not, folks, that's what you're hearing in the background if you're hearing this microphone. Anyway, there's a neighbor's chicken that's visiting me in my carport. He said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do, as he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see how this wraps around? You see what's going on in Gaza right now? This is mass murder. This is genocide. And by the way, it's not apartheid. Apartheid is a two-state solution. He goes on to say, then answered the Jews and said to them, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and has a devil? And John says something else too, very interesting. Jesus said, behold an Israelite indeed, of whom there's no guile. Just read Thessalonians, friends, and it says so clearly what you must know. This is why Jews in the Jerusalem Post have big articles. In fact, Rabbi Botich, the same guy that's reporting the genocide of the Gazans, right? He says, that is the New Testament anti-Semitic? He says, absolutely, yes. Of course it is. 450 quotations. Let me give you an example of one of them. Here's 1 Thessalonians. Sorry about the chicken here. For you suffered the things like your own countrymen, as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out, and displeased God, and opposed all men. But God's wrath has come upon them. At last. Think about that, folks. Does that not apply to the people in Gaza, the Palestinians who just been dispossessed? And by the way, about half the Palestinians were Christians at one time.
Three minutes, Dave.
Have destroyed thousands of churches. So I'm going to shut this down by saying to you, the reason why Jews opposed Jesus Christ is because Jesus objected to what Judaism had become. Jesus had a new covenant, a covenant for all people, of which Jews were allowed to take part, but they didn't want to take part in it. No, they demanded the crucifixion of Christ. Now, at the same time, I want to say something very, very important. And I'm going to play one song at the end if we go over time, or maybe we'll do it at the start for the second hour, just a song. I want to play a great song by Martin Luther, you know, and it's an amazing song, but it explains to me and it says to us what Jesus' life was about. And what I suggest to you folks is that Jesus wasn't a weak-hearted man. He was courageous, honest. He was a warrior in many, many ways. And he wasn't even nonviolent. He went into the temple and drove out with cat of nine tails, bullwhip, basically, the money changers who were robbing the people. If people would rob people and use usury and all these other things, that he would want to drive them out violently out of the temple, what would he do to a child molester? What would he do to a murderer? What would he do to those other people? But he did believe in promoting the idea of truth, and the truth beyond the most important area of that truth, and that love is among where most of the crimes in the world take place, where most of the evil things take place, or the lies are cheating or damage. And that's among people we love, our family members. When children, you know, abuse their parents, or parents abuse their children, our brothers and sisters fight and hate each other, we have to bring love into our lives. This is what Christ chose to talk about. But at the same time, he definitely believed in justice. Blessed are the peacemakers. Absolutely. And that's why Jews rejected him. And that's why they crucified him. His blood be on us and our children. Pontius Pilate tried to urge the Jews to take the criminal. Let him go. He didn't see any fault with Jesus Christ. Jews themselves clamor this. Almost every Jewish holiday is about mass murder. That's the reality of it, folks. That's the realism of this. We have to understand this. It says in the New Testament, John 7:13, yet for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly of Jesus Christ.
Dave, top of the hour break. I got to take it.
That's it. We'll take the break. I want to play that music to start the next hour.
Yeah, go do something about that chicken, all right?
And, I'll try to run the chicken out of the corporate.
Yeah, and mute and turn the phone on silent. Okay. All right, folks. Thank you for listening to Dave talking about Easter on the Dave and Duke Call-In Show, which we're going to get into the calls now. Exactly 7 o'clock Central Time, and it is going to come back to the show and get to the callers in a little bit. Dave's going to do something about that chicken just now from a listener who says it's an Easter miracle! Exclamation mark. No chirping from smoke detector! Exclamation mark. It's fixed! Exclamation mark. But now I hear a rooster. Happy Easter! Exclamation mark. So there you go. As Dave says all the time, you can't make this up, right? I mean, we had the chirping. Now we've got a rooster, which I didn't know about. We're going to find out about that rooster. Okay, another email from a listener. He asks, the subject line was, what should I be listening to on SFR? As I have in the subject line, I've been pondering what I should be listening to. I think you've gotten a glimpse of my personality and my perspectives. What do you recommend based on that? And of course, I said, listen to my show in 20 minutes. I will shout out. Okay, so the best thing to do for folks who have a similar question or thought is to just go to speakfreeradio.com and look at the panoply of shows that are available 24/7 and just pick one. We have plenty of original programming, and we're getting more, and plenty of shows that are brought in from other places that are simulcast there. As a matter of fact, Giuseppe and I will be starting our own show. I think, let me take a look here. I think it's April. It's either April 10th or April 11th. I think it's Thursday, so it might be April 11th. So we're going to have a call-in show. So that's going to happen. And then one day I will have my own show. I've been threatening that for a while, but there's just too much to do. So to dedicate to a show like that, it might take some time, but it should be a great time with, Giuseppe, starting next month. So you'll see it in the schedule and we'll announce it here. So let's get back to Dave, if he's ready. Dave, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. You know, I've just got a little wrap up and I've got that song to play, but I wanted to say one last thing. I do believe on this Easter day and the rising of Christ, that Christ's message was really about a personal message to every human being on the earth to live a just life and a good life, an honorable life, a God-like life. That's what the message of Christ was on this Easter day, to live a life of goodness, to treat thy neighbor like thyself, and to treat each other with love, the people in your family, the people that you encounter, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, to teach them and treat them honorably and kindly and decently. And it was about saving the world by saving ourselves, by saving your own soul and your own spirit. That's really what I think Christ's message was. He didn't have this plan for like one world government or trying to control everybody or some sort of vision for the world in some sort of political position. What he did was, is he was trying to talk about, you know, the relationship between every individual human being and God and the love of God and the love of the values, the highest values of kindness and love and charity and beauty and peace and all those things that that we cherish. Let me just
all right, Dave, this. A few questions.
Yeah, sure.
Who's been calling? Is it Slattery?
No, it's other people. I don't know how they get them on.
It's not Slattery.
No, it's not Slattery. Don't worry about it. Okay.
I am worried about it. Two, Dave, chicken. What's up?
The chicken's gone. In fact, I went outside and the chicken had already left.
I mean, where did the chicken come from?
A neighbor has chickens. And sometimes this chicken gets, one of these hens gets out. She tried to lay an egg the other day in one of my window boxes.
Great.
Well, I would have liked it, you know.
Right. You get free eggs.
Well, let me get the song up for you. But this is a Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Now this is done basically in a cappella by Steve Green. This guy looks like, you know, he looks like totally one of us. This guy looks like, you know, a Viking. But he's a great singer, but he sings a song that Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, by the way, Martin Luther wrote called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And most people don't ever listen to the lyrics. And when you listen to the lyrics, you understand that Christ did come preaching love and did come preaching the word of God and did come preaching salvation. But at the same time, Luther, and by the way, all the early, Luther was a Protestant, the first Protestant, but all the original Catholics also were just as strong. This is how they understood the teachings of Jesus. So he's an apostle of love, Jesus Christ. But at the same time, he and all the early Christians believed that you had to stand up for good, and the world was full of devils, that Satan was here in this world.
Dave, why don't you get me the link? I can play it on
this gadget. Okay, well, just look up on
YouTube.
YouTube. Go to YouTube to do a Mighty Fortress Steve Green Live 1986.
All right, hold on.
A Mighty Fortress Steve Green Live 1986. We'll get a better quality.
Mighty Fortress. A Mighty Fortress is our God?
No. A Mighty Fortress, okay. Steve Green, live, parenthesis, 1986, close parenthesis.
All right. Here we go. Let's see. All right. Yeah, I got it. Okay.
Let's see if
okay,
we hear it.
So, well, I got to put it in. I'll put it in the thing. So what we'll do is we're going to take the calls, and then
let me finish the song. Let me give you a couple quick comments after the song, and that's it. And we'll go to calls.
No. What I'm saying is I've got to download the song, put it in our system.
I can play it through my mic. It's all right.
It might sound not good compared to what we could do.
Okay, download it.
Yeah. How long is it, Dave?
Is it four minutes and 12 seconds? Something like that, yeah.
Okay. So let's get on the call. Hold on. We're going to get on a call, and then I'm going to download it while you're answering the question.
Yeah, that will take a minute. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah, right. Okay.
What do you mean,
Jimmy?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
You're only taking a minute to download the song.
No, it's not. No, not the download, the call.
I know.
All right, Jimmy. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Dave, Dr. Duke. Happy Easter.
Isn't it amazing? I got to say something to you. Yeah. I want to ask you a question because I'm starting with a question for you rather than you for me. Is it interesting that nobody ever really talks about the very nature of Christ's ministry, the fact that the Jews opposed him, the Jewish elite opposed him, just like the Jewish elite control the politics of America, get us in all these damn wars, right? Created all these mass murders and everything, and communism, and of course, many others historically. Isn't it really amazing that nobody even confronts the story of Jesus Christ's life, his minister, what he opposed about Judaism and the oral tradition and the Pharisees, and how they crucified him and how they conspired to murder him, destroy him, right? And if you look at the New Testament, it's all about Jewish persecutions of Christians. Nobody spoke about Jesus for fear of the Jews. Isn't it doggone amazing that even though it's like Christians, it's right in front of their noses. It's right in front of them in the New Testament. And yet nobody will even say this out loud, how Jesus Christ went against the Jewish values and he became the biggest enemy of the Jews and they became his biggest enemy. He wasn't really their enemy or anybody else's enemy. He was on the side of God and he was on the side of human beings and justice and love, and all those good things. It's just amazing to me that we can live in a world, a Jewish world today, that's so perverted that people don't even understand Jesus' message and don't understand that the enemy of this man that taught love and justice and kindness and peace and brotherhood, this man was murdered by the Jews because he didn't want to go along with their Jewish supremacy over the entire world and their enslavement of the whole world. That's really an amazing fact. What do you think?
Hey, that's a great point. And it's the truth that they killed him for. And it's like, if people can't wake up to, and it's so clear that Jews hate Christians or non-Jews. I mean, how could they get the president of the United States to say that today is the trans day? You know, I mean, they can go that far into our face with their hatred, and we're not supposed to say anything about
on Easter Day, the rising of Christ, and it's Trans Day. Is he trying to say that Jesus Christ and would support transgenderism? Well, you can look in the New Testament. There's all sorts of stuff, and the Old Testament, all kinds of stuff about how the evil of these sexual perverts.
Right. Yeah. And I'm with you on all your points. But our leaders need to be asked the questions anytime they're running for something. Do they think that Jews are God's chosen people still? I mean, that should be a disqualifier right there for anybody that's running for office, at least to the people.
And it's way beyond that today, my friend. Yeah. One second, I'll turn this light. Let me get some other light here. Okay, so it's way worse than that. You know, they don't believe that Jews are the chosen people of God anymore. They believe that Jews are God. Right. And if you read my Jewish learning, it talks about how Judaism has evolved in their belief about God. So they went from saying that they were God's people and they were God's chosen people to the point they were saying that no, then they were just literally the sons of God. So they were all gods themselves. Like, and it was in the godhood was in their DNA. If you hit a Jew, then you're hitting God. To the point today, they really don't believe in this, the same God that they represent, like in the movies, the guy with the beard. They don't believe in God. They believe that Jews are God, that they are the ones meant to inherit the earth. And the interesting thing is this spans not just religious Jews, but it also spans what's called secular Jews. Because the secular Jews also, they just think from the standpoint that Jews are the smartest people in the world, the best people in the world. And Jews do not have the power they have because they're the smartest people in the world. They're not. They are the most corrupt and the most racist people on the world. And they have a doctrine of total racism and supremacy, which gives them an advantage in any context. Or any contest. While they try to divide other people up and divide and conquer, they themselves are unified. And by that means, they can take over any corporation. They can take over any bank. They can take over any government, as long as they're dedicated to advancing the Jewish interest, while they teach us that somehow it's evil for us to defend our interest, our Christian interest, or any other interest. There's the bell.
Thank you.
All right, Jimmy, we'll get you back in, buddy.
Okay,
let's bring in one more caller, and then we'll get to that song. All right. Vinny from Indiana. Go ahead, buddy.
Hello, Dave and David. On Resurrection Day, as the Palestinians call it, Easter, I thought I mentioned the Mark Dice video from this morning. Because he brings up quite a few things that David Duke has been talking about. You mentioned the Schaeffer book, Jesus in the Talmud, and he mentions that in his presentation and how, you know, he also mentions the Scofield Bible and this, you know, the rejection of supersessionism where the New Testament is in the New Covenant and that you have to embrace the New Covenant in order to be saved. And I thought it was really, he has to be listening to you. Mark Dice has to be listening to you, David, dude, wow. Because he, if you watch the video, and I think you'll be very impressed.
Put a link in the chat box here.
Go to YouTube. Dave could pull it up if he has time.
What's the name of it?
It's Mark Dice on YouTube. His channel.
What's the name
Mark
of the
Dice.
Show? The specific show. That's how you got to find this. Not just Mark Dice. There's a lot of Mark Dice videos.
But I mean, it's this morning. I'll just look at it on your phone. I'll bring it up just a second because I watched.
Yeah, you need to do is just tell us the name of it, and we can.
I don't know the name.
Look. Vinny, just drop it in that private chat thing, and we'll get.
I'm not okay. It's called The Truth About Jesus. The Truth About Jesus.
There you go.
Yes, I just watched it. Okay. And I just want to say one more thing. Last week you had a caller mentioned Devin Stack, the Fred Leuchter documentaries that he covered and how the Jews smeared Fred Leuchter. Yeah. He had a video last night, and it was about the film Confessions of a Nazi Spy, and it was a movie that was made in the 1939. It starred Edgar G. Robinson, and he makes the point that, you know, it's a classic case, just like you said, where Jews project their own lies onto others, their own behavior onto others, and they bring false testimony, which is the whole you know, part of the crucifixion of Christ, where they project their own.
They bear false witness against their neighbor. It's the best way to put it.
They bear false witness.
And yeah, they are constantly bearing false witness. 40 beheaded Palestinian babies. Palestinians are like ISIS. They're killing. Oh, they killed so many children. They killed so many innocent people. They raped so many women. The fact is that only 36 children died on this horrendous Holocaust of October 7th. 36 children out of 1,100 people that died, and they were mostly military, and they overcame military bases fighting with small weapons, and they fought brilliantly, right? But there's never been a Jewish incursion into Gaza that's killed such a tiny percentage of children in comparison to what the ISIS did in Israel. 36 children out of 1,200. 40% of the 13,000 children were killed. That's over 40% of the victims, probably way more than 40%. And also, you got to think about there's another three times that, probably at least 25,000 to 30,000 who were maimed and tortured by these Jews and these horrible bombings and disfigurations and all that. Children. I mean, this, yet you would think that it was those Palestinians who were animals. No, it's Jews who called the Palestinians animals, that they're human animals. It's Jews who said we're going to starve the children of Palestine, the children of Gaza. I mean, the hypocrisy is crazy. Again, it goes right back to the quotation I did of Jesus Christ when he talked to the Pharisees, and he said, "You and your father are the sons of the devil, and the lust ye father you will do." He's a murderer from the beginning. Look at the murder they're doing in Gaza right now. And abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. While they talk about the Holocaust, they don't mention the Jewish Holocaust of communism, the 100 million victims in this world that was spawned by Jewish Karl Marx and Jewish communism all over the world and the Jewish Soviet Union. They don't talk about the wars that they wanted to, they got the whole world in wars to accomplish the overthrow of Russia and Christian Russia. They got the whole world involved. They got America involved in the First World War so they could get the Balfour Declaration. That was the quid pro quo for America getting into the war, if the Jews would get America, which they did. We can just keep going with all the wars ever since. How many hundreds of millions of people have to die because of Jewish bloodlust, the Jewish genocidal efforts for global supremacy? The people like you and I, or anybody else listening, has called themselves a white nationalist or a white person. They're no threat to this world. I've never killed anybody in my life. I've always condemned any sort of violence. Jews create millions of deaths, hundreds of millions of deaths. And they do more than that. How many millions have died from drug overdose with the Sackler family? How many people died all over the world with this fake vaccine that probably killed 17 million people, believe it or not? And how about the lockdowns, which cost tens of millions of lives all over the world because it destroyed the economy, the jobs, the futures of millions of people? And this was totally orchestrated by the Jews and the CDC, the Jews and Pfizer and these other pharmaceutical companies. They destroy. Ye and ye father are the sons of the devil, and the lust ye father ye will do was a murder from the beginning. Remember the porn kings. Remember Abrams, you know, the famous Jewish psychologist who wrote for the Jewish Intellectual Quarterly about triple X all over the world. And he talked about the fact, he said, what motivates them other than money? Well, besides money, what motivates them is an atavistic hatred against, you know, white Christians, European Christians, you know, the WASPs and the other, you know, and the other Christians, whether WASPs or Catholics or whatever they are. This is what is the real hatred in the world. This is what the real hate speech is in the world. And this, the hatred that they, just the hatred they uttered against Jesus Christ, even that they conjured him up from hell so they could torture him for all eternity. You cannot make up their hate. You couldn't make up people so hateful, so murderous and torturous as what they've done. Now, this is Easter. I'm thankful today for the life of Christ, the sacrifices of Christ. He died for us and our sins, and I appreciate his message of love. I also appreciate, as we're going to play in the song in one moment, we're going to appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ, as well as anybody else knew, everybody else knew, that there are devils in this world, and you've got to make sure the devils don't rule this world. You have to oppose evil. And that's exactly what Christ did. Christ even went into the synagogue. He went into the temple, in fact. And a few days before he was crucified, that's why he was crucified in great part, and overturned the money changers' temples. Money changer tables in the temple. And guess what? What do you think they do to you and me, my friend, if we went into Goldman Sachs and started taking the cat of nine tails through them and whipping them and breaking up the price? They'd put us in prison for years, probably call us a terrorist or something, wouldn't they? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I'm going to let you guys go. Listen to the Mark Dice thing, Truth About Jesus. He's clearly listening to you, Mark David Duke. You're having an influence, and he has defended you against censorship on numerous occasions. He says your book should be out there on Amazon and everything.
See if you can find his number, then get in touch with Dave Gahari and share his number with Dave, and then Dave can give it to me. And I don't know it.
I mean, he's a major YouTuber. He has millions of subscribers.
Well, see if you can find out how to contact me. He probably has a contact number because he does a lot of media. So see if you can look that up for us. That'd be great if you could find that for us. Okay?
All right. Thanks David. Dave,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Vinny. Bye. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, we got to reach out to these people.
Dave, do you want to take a call, or do you want to play this song first?
This song, I want to get it close to the opening section on Easter, because this song is, to me, one of the most inspiring songs. And you're never going to hear a song ever that's sung as well as this one is by Steve Green. It's just an amazing song. And by the way, this guy looks like he just came out of a Viking ship. You know,
well, we just got the audio. We don't have – the listeners will just have to –
You can't see it, but you can play.
Yeah, right. Okay, here we go. We're all going to be muted.
I'll tell you if it should be higher.
I have no control over that.
The mighty fortresses are gone. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils fill should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. the prince of darkness grim. We tremble not for him, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, a body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. His kingdom is forever.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Listen, bear with me for a minute because I want to just read the words of the lyrics. It's not that going to take a long, it's like a long time. It's a minute and a half or so. I want to read those words.
And you got time.
I want people to think about it because if you really think about the words of this fantastic song by the great Martin Luther, who also was called an anti-Semite, this is exactly what Jesus was doing. This is exactly what the Jews were doing against Christ and against Christianity. And everything in this song is like talking about the fight we're making today, the effort we're trying to do today to bring truth to this world and decency and love. So let's listen to the words. I'm just going to give you the words. I'm not going to try to sing it, especially not my voice right now, but here we go. It is a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe, we know who that is, don't we? His craft, the seek to work us woe, his craft and power great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Yes, he does have supremacy on this earth right now. There is no power equal to his right now, but there are powers of countries coming up. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled, boy, isn't it so, hon? Folks, think about that now. And so this world with devils, I can think of so many. Bankman-Fried, I can think of Mr. Epstein, I can think of Mr. Soros, I can think of Karl Marx, I can think of Trotsky and Lenin, I can think of, you know, Zelensky, I can think of Netanyahu, I can think of George Soros, right? We can just keep going on. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours. Through him with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill. But God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Y'all, I wish you all a very thankful Easter and the thankfulness we can have to Jesus Christ, to God, to our Father in heaven, to all those things that give us strength with this world that is truly filled with many devils. And but we have refuge in the love of Jesus Christ and the love of God. And with all our own shortcomings, we have a man who died for us and he sees us as worthy. And all humanity, truthfully worthy, all humanity that cares about life and cares about freedom and cares about a higher morality rather than death, destruction, murder, and money. That's it. I hope that, isn't that a wonderful song, and wasn't that a wonderful rendition by Steve Green?
Yeah, somebody asked in the chat who was singing that song, so you might want to
it's
let
Steve
them know
Green.
The singer and the song.
He's got an archive channel. You can go to YouTube archive. Steve Green, G-R-E-E-N, and definitely a white guy. And he's got a lot of music there, and he's been on for, you know, years and years all over the world. And he's, but his music is, he's probably got one of the greatest voices ever. If he'd been in regular music, he would probably have been the biggest singer in the world, except for the fact that, he was such an, you know, dedicated Christian. And, so he's done a lot of good things. And he has pointed out, and I think it's good he's pointed this out, that one of the reasons we, you know, you've had that black gentleman, I'm looking forward to doing the show with him one of these days soon, that you've talked about, who has recognized the Jewish problem. I recognized the Jewish problem early on. I recognized that the problem between whites and blacks was because of the Jews. I realized that. And I realized.
Still is.
Right. And yeah. And he also has a song he does with another, with a black singer. It's quite good. But he says, you know, that we have to get along. And we do. It doesn't mean that we have to destroy our race or open our borders or any of those things. But what it means is that when we encounter other people, or every people has a right to preserve themselves and to have a society they live in that represents their values, traditions, their sense of beauty and art and literature and music and art, their expression of themselves, of their people. It's normal and natural. This is true among Arabs. It's true among Palestinians. It's true among Turks. It's true among Asians. It's true among Chinese. It's true among Amerindians. It's true among every people in the world. And the ironic thing is that these same Jews who are controlling the media and who control so much of the left keep telling us that somehow Jews are just like white supremacists. No, they're not. They always are saying that Israel is an apartheid state. No, if you go out and you just Google apartheid and go read the messages of go read the messages of the South African president per word and his speech to the Congress, where he says every race in South Africa, huge amounts of territory, every race in South Africa has got to be able to rule themselves. They got to be able to have their own control over their own government, their own self-determination, their own rights, their own school system, and whatever they want. They've got the right to rule themselves in their own societies, their own borders, to reach their own destiny. The Europeans in South Africa have that right. All the other people have the same right as well. That's what apartheid is, a two-state solution. The truth is, Israel obviously is not an apartheid state. Israel is a Jewish supremacy.
Dave, we got a question.
And Israel is one last sentence, and Israel is a genocidal state, and Jews are the biggest genociders the world's ever seen. Not every Jew is, but I'm saying the Jewish leadership of this world and Jewish power structure of this world has been the biggest genociders the world's ever seen. It's been going on for thousands of years.
Okay, ask David about Acts 1:5 and laying of the hands versus water.
Well, I don't know if I have any comments about that. I mean, it's, you know, laying of the hands and water. Let me look up
Acts,
the verse.
Acts 1:5.
Yeah, okay. Let me see if I can find it. I'm looking.
It's a quiet there Sunday because it's Easter.
Yeah, take your time.
Yeah.
Here we go. For John truly baptized with water, but ye will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. For John indeed baptized with water, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But what he was simply saying was it may have been water that John baptized with, but it's the Holy Spirit, you know, of God that really, that was all about. So that's all. I don't know if that's really critical aspect to what we're talking about.
I don't know. Okay, next question. Winston Churchill, was his mother a Jew?
Okay. First off, you know, I've heard a rumor about that before, but I was never able to track it down. And if she says she has evidence, I would like her to send me the evidence. You know, that Winston Churchill's mother was a Jew. But, you know, whatever Winston Churchill was, I know one thing. He was a servant of the Jews. I also know that he was basically taken over. He's made into a intelligence asset and an asset really in the government by the Rothschilds. And you can read the book Churchill and the Jews by the Zionist Jew, Martin Gilbert. And it talks about the fact that the Rothschild family came in and gave his a lot of money so they could control Winston Churchill and make him into an asset that would help bring about the war and help bring about the Balfour Declaration. The Balfour Declaration itself, by the way, was actually written by the undersecretary who in the Jewish Virtual Library, now, you know, so many areas of, you know, of government and media and so forth. It's amazing. I'm gonna see this in just a second. Look at one thing here. So, yeah, that's. Hi. So what they're saying, some people consistently say that he was born Jenny Jerome. It says here that that she wasn't Jewish. And the way that you can show that or not is all you got to do is just go to anything like myancestry.com or you got to go to 24andMe, it's just like, okay, and take a look. You can find his ancestors through any of those tracing deals. You can find her ancestors behind it. And I think somebody contacted a few years ago, so I dismissed it because I had a good friend that looked it up, and they said that, you know, she wasn't a Jew, and there's no evidence that she had Jewish ancestry. Now maybe she did, but who knows? But that's not, you know, whatever he was, he was certainly someone who let himself be bribed by the Jews. So he did say in this 1920 article, he didn't just imply, he actually said clearly that Jews were the driving force behind worldwide communism, that Jews like Leon Trotsky, he said Leon Trotsky planned to take over the world for the Jews through communism. He literally said that. In fact, Martin Gilbert in his biography, and he was the official British biographer of Churchill. And by the way, he was Jewish and a big Zionist Jew. So, but he talked about the Jewish article that Winston Churchill wrote about the struggle between communism and Judaism, which is the same struggle that goes on today in many ways. And he writes about this implicitly. And Gilbert doesn't refute one thing about what Churchill wrote in the article, where he names all the Jewish leaders of communism and how the communism was truly, a Jewish enterprise. So there you go. You still there?
Yeah, sorry, I was muted. Here's something interesting and kind of light, all right?
Okay.
Because it is kind of a different show today, right? Okay.
Sure,
let's,
please.
Let's talk about the oldest cities in America. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the oldest first. All right?
Right. I know where that is. Jamestown, Virginia.
Okay.
Some people say, why, Virginia? Historic Jamestown is definitely... It was a very amazing thing that these people survived, actually.
Okay. Right. So here's what this website Stacker records as the oldest in this country, and it's not from the Europeans. They're saying from 1000, Araby, the village of Araby, dates to around the year 1000 and has been continuously inhabited since then by the Hopi Native Americans. Let's get to the Europeans, right?
Well, let's talk about that for a second, okay? So,
all right.
Yeah, so why, let's put it this way. What America is, what America became, America would not be America. Our Constitution, our culture, our language, our traditions, our values, our dress, the very people that made up the whole idea of America, except for the fact that Europeans came and stepped foot on this continent and did so. Now, as we know, we had much expansion of China over the years. We had expansion of Kazakhstan. I mean, to all the hundred, we had expansion of Turkey all the way up to the gates of Vienna. And when Turkey, and Turkey was not, as actually a Christian country at one time, Constantinople was a European city. It became Istanbul after the Turks, overcame the Europeans in that town. So then the history of Turkey became about Turkey, right? And again, everything is double standards because we have the Jews controlling the media.
Right, exactly.
And the Jews want to, the disembowel, you might say, they want to rip the guts out of our country, our values, and our traditions. The other day on the show, I was talking about that movie, Little Big Man, with Dustin Hoffman, and just the vile, hateful presentation of the early American settlers. It was unbelievable. Where you had a couple of kids, their parents are killed by these Pawnees and Indians and so forth. And the little young girl, and this is a movie that kids are seeing too, right? And the little young girl, 12 years old or whatever, blonde girl. And she's telling her brother how that she was really feeling abused by the fact that the Indians didn't come rape and ravage her because she wanted to be raped and ravaged by the Indians.
The Jews have had free reign to,
I mean, to say,
destroy us. It's disgusting.
You can't even make up what they do.
Dave, let's go to this.
How more hateful could you be?
Because it's going to take a little while.
How much more hateful could you get against?
You can't. By the way, that fellow who asked
our
about
children of saying they want to be raped by the
they're
by
sick.
The people
they're sick creatures.
Down.
The fellow who asked the question about the axe first thanked you for it. Okay, the oldest city in the United States, 1565, St. Augustine, Florida.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, first discovered by Juan Ponce de Leon in 1513 while he was searching for the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, the only reason that might be said differently is simply because that wasn't really part of, you know.
Right. Let's get to the Europeans.
Yeah.
Your first answer was Jamestown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1607,
that was
Jamestown.
More the
contiguous
United States.
Yes, let's talk about that. 1607, Jamestown. Next, after Jamestown, 1610, they're going back to the Indians. Let's go to 1613. Hopewell, Virginia. That was number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, 1614. Albany, New York. Dutch fur traders established the first settlement there. I'm not going back to the Southwest. 1618, Jersey City, New Jersey.
Santa Fe was in there somewhere, you know.
Yeah, Dutch trappers first took up residence here in 1618. 1620, Plymouth, Massachusetts.
I got a question for you. This is this is a quiz. You know this anyway because you read my books, I think. So there were a number of massacres, some by Europeans against Indians, some by Indians against Europeans. But what was the single greatest loss of life, massacre and rape and so forth, in the history of the American and Indian conflict? What was the greatest?
You talked about that a couple of shows ago. I can't remember the name of it, but does it begin with an M?
It was Fort Mims.
Yes.
Today it's Alabama. And it was a massacre by the...
by Mobile, right?
Near Mobile.
Yeah, so close to both of us, kind of in between both of us. Okay, next. 1623, Gloucester, Mass. 1623, Dover, New Hampshire. 1625, Quincy, Mass. Same year, New York. Next year, 1626, Salem, Mass. Of course, we know what happened there. 1630, Boston. 1630, same year, Biddeford, Maine. Next, 1632, Williamsburg, Virginia. That's a beautiful city. I've been there. I'm sure you have too, Dave. 1634, St. Mary's City, Maryland. 1634, Green Bay, Wisconsin. The abundance of fish, birds, and wild rice in the area drew both the native people and French fur trappers. That's why there's a lot of French up there. 1635, Old Saybrook, Connecticut. Same year, Concord, Mass. Next year, 1636, Providence, Rhode Island. Same year, Springfield, Mass. Same year, Scituate, Mass, if I said it right. 1637, Hartford, Connecticut. 1638, Cambridge, Mass. 1638, Wilmington, Delaware. 1638, New Haven, Connecticut. A lot in 1638. 1639, Newport, Rhode Island. 1639, Milford, Connecticut. Same year, Guilford, Connecticut. Same year, Bridgeport, Connecticut. 1639, Barnstable, Mass. 1639, St. Marks, Florida. 1642, Warwick, Rhode Island. Same year, Lexington, Massachusetts. 1646, New London, Connecticut. 1649, Annapolis, Maryland. 1651, Norwalk, Connecticut. 1659, El Paso, Texas, by Franciscan monks. 1660, Rye, New York. 1666, Newark, New Jersey. Look at it now. 1668, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. 1670, Charleston, South Carolina. 1673, Worcester, Mass. 1674, Waterbury, Connecticut. 1680, South Orange, New Jersey. 1681, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. 1682, Norfolk, Virginia. Those are the top 50 oldest cities in this once great nation, Dave.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking a little bit more to get to a different subject again, the subject at Fort Mims, because, you know, I looked it up. And this war of disinformation from these Jews who control Google, of course, Sergey Brin, Larry Page, and Wikipedia, and all the rest of these sources, right? The lies just never stop, right? And a good example is, I'll just give you one example, one of the things. Now, I read a bunch of original historical accounts of people that came to the fort. Army officers and other major people, authorities, intelligent people, educated people, right, who came in when they came and got the fort back. And they themselves counted more than 500 victims, men, women, and children, and including, you know, around 250 that were scalped, right? Right. But the interesting thing is, because everything, any sort of attack, you constantly hear this bullshit about how the whites, you know, killed. There wasn't a single massacre that even killed 250 Indians at one time. But in terms of, you know, the men, women, and children, that's exactly what it was. The fort was full of white people there who were, their families there and their kids were there and everything. But let me just read this little section. It's just one paragraph. It's just a couple sentences. But
okay, then we'll get to the next call.
It tells you a lot. Some say the death toll at Fort Mims was around 500, while others say it was around 250. The Red Sticks, a faction of the Creek Nation, attacked the fort on August 30, 1813, killing or capturing settlers, militia, slaves, and Creeks, who were loyal to the Americans. They killed a lot of Indians there, too. So it says then the Red Sticks also took 250 scalps and spared most African Americans to become slaves. Again, it shows you one thing. So whenever they talk about white enslavement and all, Indians had slaves. Everybody had slaves. Historically, every people had slaves. Why is it only white people who had slavery, and very, very little racial slavery in Europe, obviously, in terms of blacks. But the interesting
Can I guess?
Thing,
Jews? Dave, let's get to the next call because we're running out of time.
Sure.
We've got our good friend Lancastrian Jack from across the pond.
Okay.
Jack, how are you, my good man?
My good man, I have a question for you.
Sure.
You like that, Dave?
I love it. That's great.
My good men have a question for you, yes.
Yes.
I have a quick question for Dr. Duke. Who would you say, Dr. Duke, it's a hard question, I imagine, but who would you say, Dr. Duke, was the last American who achieved high office whose principles you would say were as unwavering as yours? Would you have to go back a long way to answer a question like that? Can you think of anybody?
Huh.
I dare say there's no one presently.
I don't know. I think Andrew Jackson was a pretty great one. That was a long, long time ago. I think there are a lot of Thomas Jefferson. I think some of the founding fathers were pretty fantastically great men, like Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson's a hero even amongst the liberals. I heard he wanted to have sodomized, dismembered. You never hear quotes like that, do you? But he wanted not just executed, but dismembered.
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson, yeah.
Well, that must be the different Thomas Jefferson. There was no evidence that he was dismembered at all. He died of
he wanted sodomites to be dismembered.
Oh, he wanted sodomites to be dismembered.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there was something I liked about him. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
I'm not wishing anybody to be dismembered. I just don't want sodomizing children. I'm sorry. And yeah. I don't want homosexual men who are famous for liking young kids to adopt young white children. Young white male children. It's insane.
That's right.
And because they have a record. One in six young boys in the Western world today are either sodomized, molested, raped by homosexual males because they've got this strange predilection. And it's a horrible thing, and it's a reality. And I don't care if it was maybe 1 in 20 chance, 1 in 30 chance that they would rape a little boy if a homosexual did it, if that probability was just 1 in 30. But the truth is that it's a lot more than 1 in 30. It's a lot more than 1 in 100. But even if it's 1 in 100, nobody would even give their child a 1 in 100 more, you know, a 1 in 100 chance of being raped if they went to a certain school or they lived in a certain, whatever. Nobody will let their own children be that way. So this is, you know, the insanity of things in the world today. We live in an upside down Jewish world, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah. By the way, quickly, Dave,
Jack, anything else before we,
can we trust Candace Owen? She said to a Jew this week that the greatest Holocaust ever was against Christians, the Holodomor. Do you think we can trust a woman? Well, is she for real, Candace Owens? I mean, that's what she said to a Jew.
No, she's not a Jew.
No, to it, she said.
She said it to a Jew.
She said it to a rabbi. Yeah. So we are the Christians are the most persecuted people. She said it to a Jew. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, she did say that.
Can she be trusted? Jack wants to know.
Can we trust?
Can she be trusted?
Well, I can say this that. She's had an interesting journey. I mean, she was around Kanye West. She put on a White Lives Matter T-shirt at a fashion show in Paris, France, of all places, right? And supported that.
There's the music.
And
there's the music.
There's no member of Congress that would dare do that. Go to my show tomorrow morning, folks, at 10 a.m. Central Time.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
See you next week. Happy Easter, everybody. And we'll see you next week. And that show I'm doing with Giuseppe is Thursdays from...
Don't forget to tune in next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, for the Dave and Duke Call-In Show, where David Gahari and the incomparable Dr. David Duke will take your phone calls and discuss whatever questions you want to bring to the table. See you next Sunday.